Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and join us here. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Pat from Port Orchard, Washington.
This is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
We are continuing on in this study that Ivan Panin inspired us to take a look at, another view of the foundations. Same foundations. We're still studying out of the Greek first. We've all started and taken that same word that came out of Jesus' mouth first. The very first word that came out of his mouth was change your mind. By the way, this view of the foundations backs up exactly what we have been doing for 52 years, and it's like going out two by two. It's another view, but it proves the foundation truths to a T. But this one starts in Matthew, then goes on to Mark, Luke, and John. And but before we get started, the singers went out before, and so we're going to I want to introduce something to you, too. The whole Bible is sung. The Greek language and the Hebrew are numeric and musical. I wonder what the songs, when we find out what the number patterns are of the original Hebrew and Greek, I really wonder what the songs reveal. But in the meantime, we're relying on the Holy Spirit to teach us how to sing. And we started a lot with the book of Psalms, and this is Psalms 103. Is that right?
Yes, 103.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me.
And all that is within me.
Bless his holy name.
Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your disease? Who redeems your life from the pit? And who crowns you with loving kindness? Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me.
And all that is within me.
Bless his holy name.
Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
For high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards us. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me.
And all that is within me.
Bless his holy name.
Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Well, to begin with, to introduce Matthew to you, it's not Matthew. This is hot off of God's lips. This first gospel belongs to God. It came to man through the Holy Spirit. All scripture is God-breathed. So let's not call this the book of Matthew. This is the book, the first gospel that came down, kata Matthew, is really what the Greek says. It came down to Matthew to deliver to God's kids, or those who are about to be God's kids. Those are thinking about being one of God's children. And so we will call this the book of God according to Matthew. What do you think about that, Andy?
Oh, that's exactly what the Greek says. So it's what God gave Matthew to write down.
He'd be the scribe.
Yep.
And this is not like the Old Testament scribes. This is a New Testament. This is the first of this new covenant. The new covenant has not yet come into being. It doesn't happen until Jesus dies. At the end of Matthew chapter 27, it actually happens right at verse 50. Oh, the day of Pentecost is 50. Isn't that interesting?
And this is different than what God did with Moses, because Moses was supposed to give some, it's written on the stones, and God wrote that. But here, God gives this by the Holy Spirit to Matthew, and Matthew writes it down.
Given to us.
To give to us, yes.
For us to give it down. And I don't mean that I'm higher than a person, but to pass it on. That's what it means, an inheritance that goes from great-great-grandfather to great-grandfather to grandfather to your dad to you.
Throughout all generations.
To your children, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren. This is what this means. It's to continue to be passed down like an inheritance, which it is. This is our eternal inheritance. And it's the genealogy of Jesus Christ, David's son, Abraham's son. And what is interesting, it notes two sons. And the first one is in Genesis 17, where it says that Abraham, out of him kings would come. And then later on, I think in the 20s, it told Sarah that she would be the mother of the king. So all kings would come from Abraham and Sarah. So the first one is what, Brett?
This is found over in Genesis 17, and it's in verse 6. And verse 6 itself, it says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will go forth from you.
So here's the genealogy starting with Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, Judah. And then it goes on down to David, really was the first king of men who had a heart for God that God chose. The people chose Saul. You notice Saul's name is not in here in the book of Samuel. And try to find the other one in 2 Kings, where it talks about David. I think it talks about David. It's in 2 Kings. I can't remember the chapter and the verse. I brought it out another time, and I don't have my other Bible. I couldn't find it this morning for some reason. So anyway, it's in 2 Kings, and it explains about David being the king that God had chosen, a man after his own heart, and that met his specifications. Saul was picked. Now, even though God said he's the one, the people said, in their hearts, we want the best-looking guy. You know, Jack Kennedy was a good-looking dude. And the tallest. Well, he didn't fit that. Lyndon Johnson fit that. He was tall. He wasn't definitely handsome. He was not handsome like John Kennedy. But anyway, those were the people's specifications. And God's specification for a king was a man after his own heart. I say this, actually, I think I bring this up in another teaching, so we don't need to find it right now. But we've given proof to where it is. So the two that are mentioned here, both Jesus and or Abraham and David, are specified in the scriptures. But the first one, how about Jesus Christ? Isn't it interesting? Now, so here's the genealogy. It goes from Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac in turn begat Jacob. Jacob in turn begat Judah and his brethren. Judah in turn begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. Phares in turn begat Hezron. Hezron in turn begat Aram. Aram in turn begat Abinadab, and so on. And then it goes on to David and Jesse. I've got to mention this one. Salmon in turn begat Boaz of Rachab, and this was by, and Boaz in turn begat Jobed of Ruth. I love the story of Ruth. I don't know about you guys. Women are supposed to like that one. I love that story. And it shows your people will be my people, your God will be my people. It shows an adoption in, which most of us not being Jewish by blood are, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Where thou liest, I will lie. And in other words, we're going to be brothers in the same household. Not in the same bedroom, but the same household, where you, at the inn of Jesus Christ, we're going to be lodging there. And where she was going to go where Naomi went. And it is a very, like I said, if you read that with the right eyes, it's almost a New Testament book, that book of Ruth, I think. If you really look at it correctly, it goes beyond Old Testament. It's Old Testament and New. It's more eternal, I think. What do you guys think about that? They're nodding their heads.
We're thinking about it.
And then it goes to David, and there's 14 generations from Abraham to King David. There's 14 generations from David to Jeconiah, who is carried away to captivity. And there are 14 generations from Salathiel. You can't say Jeconiah twice. There are 14 generations from Salathiel. What does the other translations call it in verse 12? What's his name?
Jeconiah, the father of Shealtiel.
Shealtiel is that. I'm reading out of Pannons. He has a different. He has a different pronunciation. And so, if you count Jeconiah, that's cheating because he's already listed to the carrying away from Babylon. But after the removal of him, it begins with Shealtiel, and it goes to Jesus. And we have a problem here. And what's the problem? It's a mathematical problem. Remember, the Bible's mathematical. There's a missing generation. But in the Old Testament, it says, talks about a people that will serve him, that will have God's heart and mind, that will become a generation. And so here, chapter 17 of Genesis, verse 50, is kind of a clue. It's the first little hint. It'll give lots of hints throughout the Bible about this 50. But we're starting in the very beginning. God's not going to explain too much. But the 50th day was the day of Pentecost, when that missing generation was inserted. And Hosea, if we can have a couple of Old Testaments going here. Hosea 1:10, I think it is. And it says, in a place where it says, you are not my people, there you will be called sons of the living God. And that's quoted in Romans 9:26. And what does that say? Go ahead, read that right out of the Bible. I just quoted it.
Hosea 1:10 says, yet the number of the sons of Israel will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it will be that in the place where it is said to them, you are not my people, it will be said to them, you are the sons of the living God.
So I gave you a snapshot, but Brett read the whole thing. In a place where it says, you are not my people, there you will be called Ben Elohim, sons of God. Does it say the living God?
The living God.
Sons of the living God. And Andy's going to read Romans 9:26.
And it shall be said that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the sons of the living God. It quotes Isaiah. Hosea, exactly.
But it's ouias ton theon. It's written in Greek. So we know an ouias ton theon is exactly like a Ben Elohim. It equates them right there, dead on, when it's quoted from a direct quote, especially if Jesus quotes it, but any scripture, in a place where it says, you are not my people, there they will be called the sons of the living God.
So it means the same as it did exactly. In the old, because it's a mirror going forward.
Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the what?
Sons of God.
Sons of God.
So now there's 14 generations. So we have to put the sons of the living God in here. So in your Bible, you could write in that genealogy, the 14th generation, you could actually put Hosea 1:10 and Romans 9:26, and a generation shall serve him.
And there's another place in the New Testament that says that we're a chosen generation.
A royal
priesthood.
So if you're in that lineage, what are you?
Priests.
Sons of the king.
Sons of the king.
What is a son of a king called?
A prince.
Prince.
Let's look at that word a little bit. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? We're not done yet. It was just telling you Jesus's physical genealogy out of Abraham, out of a man of God, who operated in the law of faith. You'll find him in the faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. And also David is mentioned in at Hebrews chapter 11. So is Samson. Very interesting, isn't he? Listed in there?
He's in there.
And Barak. And there was another guy that was an illegitimate kid that's listed, Jephthah, that's listed in there. Isn't that interesting? So it's not about your physical birth, something else. And that's in a faith chapter, and our faith is accounted to us for righteousness. And Jephthah was a different character in the scriptures, and we have our Victorian ideas of the Bible. We're not relegated by Victorian ideas, are we, here in America? Well, we certainly are. We are. We're pretty prudish here in America because we nurse. I'm going to give you a really funny example, and this is a realm that women will talk about. In our country, I was not nursed by my mother. We're bottle fed. It was an era that everybody sterilized everything. They would sterilize it half to death, get rid of all the bacterium, and I was bottle fed. And so you guys are probably, well, that's why you're quirky. But anyway, in America, it's what's norm is you don't nurse the kids in public, Victorian. And I believe modesty too, but you could do it, but people don't pay attention to it. Let it be just normal. Don't get weird. And it just depends on, how long, too, because in America, they don't nurse that long. Johnny could be out playing with the Chinese culture. I've got friends that are Chinese. And how about the name Ong? And they were telling me, they relate to this because on the one side that is China, they're telling me stories that Junior's out playing baseball, and he's a primary schooler, 1, 2, 3, you know, 6, 7, 8 years of age. And the kid runs back and he needs a drink of milk. He runs to his mom and then goes back out and plays. Other cultures aren't as prudish, or they have different ideas. Now, who's in sin? Well, neither are, unless you start judging somebody for something that is their native culture and God doesn't say it's wrong. Maybe that's right to God. And one thing about the mother's milk, it builds strong immune system.
Mm-hmm. So now that makes the story of Samuel be a little bit more clear, because he had to get past a certain age in his life before he could be brought to the temple. But also that was relegated to being weaned from his mother and ready to taken away from his mother. So that couldn't have been at
Samuel.
It couldn't have been at 8 months old or 12 months old or 2 years. He had to be old enough to be actually go in there.
It might have considered that. Maybe it was 12 years. Who knows?
But it was older than a baby.
You know what? That's I limited it to 8 years old, and I'm going like, that's enough. You know, to me, as being of European descent, coming from Holland to Ukraine to America years ago. But Jesus, the first picture of Jesus, 12 years old. It might have even been to 12. Are we willing, do we make the laws? Do we make the law of nature, or are we observers of it and have a prejudice towards it? You talk about prejudice. I think we're all prejudiced to a point, and the Bible opens up, looking at different cultures and so on, it really opens our eyes to things. But here's the other thing that we wanted to bring out about this first book of Matthew that we're starting into is we looked at the physical genealogy of Jesus. How about the spiritual genealogy? How about, we know about his mom. Well, no, pardon me. We know about his family, how he came physically, because this is the lineage of his dad, his physical dad. But Joseph, he was an adoptive son of Joseph, which shows another thing too. This goes beyond physical. Jesus is not a king, not only a king by birth and family. Now we know he's adoptive, and we're going to find out he is a king even eternally. There's something in here because Joseph is not his, he does not have the genetics of Joseph. He has the family ties. But what, and the husband and wife become one, so Mary became part of that family. So there is, in a sense, a genetic tie through Mary, through the wife of Joseph. But how about a spiritual genealogy? And the birth of Christ was this. This is verse 18. His mother Mary betrothed to Joseph. Somebody read that. Start from the beginning.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was thus. His mother Mary, betrothed to Joseph before they came together, was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being righteous and not willing to make an example of her, was minded to put her away privily. But as he thought on these things, lo, the Lord's angel appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, David's son, fear not to take Mary to thee, Mary thy wife, for what is begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bear a son, and thou wilt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was come to pass, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, Lo, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep, and did as the Lord's angel commanded him, and took to him his wife, and knew her not till she had borne a son, and he called his name Jesus.
And right there, it just says that Jesus is Yahweh, because the word Yahweh is in Jesus, plus the Greek word sozo, is Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh, the Savior, is here on earth, has just been born in this lineage of Abraham and Sarah, so he is a king, but also he is born of the Holy Spirit. And what are some names of the Holy Spirit that show you the Holy Spirit's rank? What is he called in the New Testament?
King of righteousness.
The King of peace.
Melchizedek, translated, means King of righteousness, and he's the King of peace. And being the son of Melchizedek and that peace, what is Jesus' name?
Prince of peace.
The son of Melchizedek.
The son of Melchizedek, yes.
He's not only the son of Abraham and Sarah, who are the, out of him kings would come, but it also shows his dad twofold. It shows it two ways, that he is born of the Holy Spirit, who is the King of Peace, and it says later on, it titles him the King of Peace, or the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the son of the King of Peace, who is Melchizedek, and he is, and it says the Holy Spirit begat him. He is born of him. So two ways, physically and spiritually, it shows that King Jesus, in the end of all this, will be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Have you ever looked at it that way before?
That's pretty straight.
In his heart.
Right.
Yeah.
In his heart, through the Holy Spirit, he's King, but even the title is even in his body.
No, I hadn't looked at it in that pattern, but that is very interesting. Yeah.
So he was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And of course, they're not going to like it. They're going to try to wipe out this new
king.
They're going to try to wipe it out. Yeah, because he's going to.
They don't want a king in there.
Yeah, like the religious leaders later on, they're going to be the ones attacking Jesus. They're not going to want to lose their jobs. Well, Herod isn't going to want to lose his job. Looks like our time is coming pretty closely to an end. Do you have a song, a short song?
In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked, they bend the bow low, make ready their arrows on the upright. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Upon the wicked the rain will fall, fire and brimstone burning. For the Lord is right and he loves his sons, and the upright will behold his face. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?
It's time to say goodbye, and we'll see you tomorrow. So join us again. And thanks for joining us.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.